The Haftorah for Shabbat Chol Hamoed Pesach, a Haftorah that we only read basically every other year, comes from the 37th chapter of Yechezkel, and in particular, the first 14 psukim of the 37th chapter of Yechezkel. It's one of the shortest Haftorot of the year, but it is arguably one of the most dramatic. Before we talk about what this prophecy is actually saying, and before we talk about the meaning of the Haftarah, it's important to first take a look at some of the literary elements of the Haftarah, because the literary elements of the Haftarah help point out how striking it is. And I would argue this chapter is the climax of the entire book of Yechezkel, and the language demonstrates that this book stands out from all of the prophecies of Yechezkel. You only have to open the book to the only have to open the Haftarah to the first pasuk to see how dramatic it is. Now, in a printed Navi, there is a full new paragraph, a Parsha Ptucha over here. Namely, it's really set apart from a whole other section of prophecies, and it begins with the words, Haisa alai yad Hashem, the hand of Hashem was upon me. Now, if you've been studying the book of Yechezkel, you might recall that the ubiquitous phrase that begins so many of the chapters and so many of the prophecies is Vayihi dvar Hashem elai lemor, that the vision of God, came to me saying, Vayihi dvar Hashem elai lemor. We've heard that in the book easily 30 times. But here, this prophecy begins in a different way. Haisa alai yad Hashem, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Now, indicating to the reader that there is something unique and something special about this prophecy, which is different from all the previous prophecies. We did have mentioned earlier in the book, much earlier, when he had the vision of the chariot. Vatisau ti ruach, that a spirit carried me. We've had language like that, but we never had anything as dramatic, which begins with Haisa Allah Yad Hashem, it was upon me the hand of the Lord. You should also look at the sentence structure and realize that the sentence structure here is inverted. The chapter begins with the verb Haisa. Third person verb, it was a lie on me. And then the subject, Yad Hashem, only comes afterwards. So, this very unusual first four words, in which you begin sort of in media res in the middle of the story, Haisala Yad Hashem, the hand of the Lord was upon me, shows you how much this prophecy stands out. Another thing that stands out here is. The consistent use of speech in a prophecy that didn't need to have speech that many times. In Pasuk Gimel, Vayomer Eli, God speaks to him and asks the rhetorical question, Hatchayena ha'atzamot ha'ele, will the bones live? And then Yechezkel responds, Ve'amar Hashem Elokim atah yadata. God, you know the answer. Why are you asking me? You know the answer. And then Dalet, Vayomer Eli. So the fact that Gimel and Dalet both begin with Vayomer Eli, and he said unto me, further conveys this sort of special nature. Vayomer Eli is going to repeat in Pasuk Tet and again in Pasuk Yud Aleph, and it creates a very gripping literary sense of Vayomer Eli, and God said to me, so and so and so. Vayomer Eli, and God said to me, such and such and such. Vayomer Eli, and God said to me, such and such and such. It creates a rhythm to this. Instead of everything sort of all being expressed at once, instead it is much more dramatic with the sort of revelation and the unpeeling of the story happening bit by bit over the course of the story. And many of these Vayomer Elis feature the Ben Adam. Yechezkel is often called Ben Adam in his prophecies, Many commentaries explain in a way to make him not be arrogant. He was revealed so much, so the prophecy keeps referring to him as Ben Adam, human being, reminding him that he's only a human being. And so, Vayomer Eli Ben Adam, and he said to me, "Oh, human being." And then again, later on, Vayomer Eli Hinaveh Ben Adam, and he said to me, "Give a prophecy, oh human being." Again, Yud Aleph. Vayomer Eli Hinaveh Ben Adam, give a prophecy, a human being. So we have the dramatic beginning. We have the use of the Vayomer Elis, creating this sort of gradual unfolding and this sort of rhythm to it. And then the last pasuk also conveys this special nature. Throughout the book of Yechezkel, we've had as a leitmotif the idea of Vidatem ki ani Hashem, and you will know that I am Hashem. The way the book is built almost is through a series of predictions, and behind these predictions is the sense that when these predictions come true, people who had previously denied the existence of God will recognize God's relevance and God's existence. That's a leitmotif throughout the book. And the fact that this prophecy ends with the idea that Vidatem ki ani Hashem, and they will know that I am the Lord, that in and of itself is not particularly surprising. But it ends with Vidatem ki ani Hashem, you will know that I am Hashem. Dibarti, I did it. Ve'asiti, Dibarti, I spoke of it. Ve'asiti, and I did it. Ne'um Hashem, I spoke of it and I did it, said Hashem. That phrase is something, sort of an expansion that we don't see in the rest of the book. Dibarti, Vidatem ki ani Hashem is all over, but Vidatem, you will know, Dibarti ve'asiti, that I spoke of this and I did it, that is something that you don't have, to the same extent throughout the book. So all of this creates a greater sense of literary drama in the book, in that the book has the entirety of I am Hashem, I am Hashem Dibarti, I am Hashem Dibarti ve'asiti, and all of this creates this greater sense of drama. Lastly, Yechezkel is narrating this in first person. So you have what's interesting is that God in God's speech is in first person, and Yechezkel in Yechezkel's speech is in first person. And so this short section of 14 psukim is full of first person verbs. You have the verbs here, which have either a first person suffix for the first person direct object or a first person subject, are, and he took me out in Pasuk Aleph, and he placed me in Pasuk Aleph, and he passed me over in Pasuk Beis. And then in Pasuk Hey, God speaking, behold, I am bringing them spirit. And then Vav, God speaking, I will put on sinews, I will put on flesh, I will put on skin, I will put in spirit. And then in Zion, the first person goes back to Yechezkel, and I prophesied. In Chet, Yechezkel again in the first person, and I saw. And then Pasuk Yud, again Yechezkel in the first person, and I prophesied. And then God uses the first person again in Yudalid, and I will put spirit in you, and I will put you on your land. I spoke and I did it. So, with this little sketch or summary of the literary elements of this chapter, hopefully illustrates, is that the 37th chapter of Yechezkel is a unique prophecy, and it's written in a way to convey its uniqueness. All of these first person verbs, all of this speech, the Ben Adam, the expansive ending, Ani, Yidatem, Ki Ani, Hashem, Dibarti, Ve'asiti, Nium Hashem, the unusual beginning, Hatala Yad Hashem, is suddenly almost, the Spirit of the Lord took me, which creates an urgency and an energy, is designed to make this particular chapter stand out on a literary level. Beyond these literary things that stand out about this particular prediction, we also should note that it is the only prediction in Yechezkel which describes something which is an open defiance of the laws of nature. Yechezkel gives many prophecies of the destruction of the temple, but many of those destructions involve miracles that could be understood as taking forms of nature. When we say that a sword is going to come at the land or that famine is going to come to the land, that doesn't have to be anything supernatural. We know that Yechezkel lives at the time of major hostilities between the Babylonian Empire and the Jews of Jerusalem. And so saying that there was a famine or that there was war, even plague, which is common in those days when people are confined in the city, those do not involve defying the laws of nature. And if you think more expansively at all of the prophetic books of the later prophets, all of the book of Yeshayahu, all of the book of Yirmiyahu, and all of the book of Yechezkel, there are very few miracles in these books which constitute defying the laws of nature. In Treasar 2, very hard to find miracles that defy the laws of nature. But the miracle in Yechezkel is a miracle which stands out in the prophets, that the dead are being brought back to life. And the idea of the dead being brought back to life is something which is truly miraculous, and it really stands out as something that we just don't have that many descriptions of it in the prophetic section of the Tanakh. So we have this dramatic climactic Haftorah, but actually not much happens. We can summarize the Haftorah in a few short words. The dead are brought back to life. You can summarize the whole Haftorah in 7 words. The dead are brought back to life. All of these literary elements are designed to expand that vision in a way that's more dramatic. But basically what happens is that the dead are brought back to life, and we have to understand why that is. I'll note as an aside that part of the reason why this Haftarah is one of the shortest of the year, we have a rule that any Haftarah that corresponds to the Parsha of the week must be at least 21 verses long. The exception to that is Haftarot, which are holiday Haftarot. This is why many of the Haftarot which follow Tisha B'Av, which are holiday Haftarot, for example, the Haftorah for the 3rd week after Tisha B'Av, or for the holiday of the 5th week after Tisha B'Av, they're shorter because holiday Haftarot don't comply to this rule. But and therefore, the Haftorah for Shabbos Chol Hamoed, because it's a holiday, it can be less than 21 psukim, and this one is only 14 psukim. And so, again, it's a very interesting Haftorah, one of the shortest ones of the year, but also one of the most dramatic. I'll read it now in Hebrew and English, and then turn to talk about what the meaning of the Haftorah is. Haita la yad Hashem, the hand of Hashem was upon me. Ve'otieni beruach Hashem, and it took me out by the spirit of Hashem. Ve'inicheni b'toch habika, and put me down in a valley. V'hi milaya atzamot, and it was full of bones. Ve'virani alihem saviv saviv, he passed me over them around, around. V'hine, and behold, rabot me'ot alpnei hasadeh, there were so many of them on the alpnei habika in the valley. And behold, they were very dry. Notice the use of the word ma'od twice in this pasuk. They were very many, and they were very dry. Another one of these literary elements. And God said to me, Ben Adam, human being, will these bones live? Well, Mar, and I said back, Hashem Elokim, Lord, Hashem, Atayadata, you know. Ve'omer Eli, he said to me, Hinavei al atzamos ha'ela, prophesy upon these bones. Ve'omer Taleem, and you shall say to them, Ha'atzamot ha'yveshot, O dry bones, shimu dvar Hashem, listen to the word of Hashem. Ko'omer Hashem Elokim, so says the Lord Hashem, La'atzamot ha'ela, to these bones, Hinei ani mevibachem ruach, v'chiyitem, I will give you spirit, and you shall live. Ve'nasati alechem gidim, and I will give you sinews. Ve'alesi alechem basar, and I will give you flesh. Ve'karamti alechem orm, then I will give skin upon you. Ve'nasati bechem ruach b'chiyitem, I will give you spirit, breath, and you will live. Vidatem ki ani Hashem, and you will know that I am Hashem. So the prophet carries this out. Vini besi kasher tzuvesi, I prophesied as I was commanded. Vayikol ki navi, there was a great voice when I prophesied. Vine rash, a loud noise. Vatikavu atzmo, etzem el atzmo, the two bones came back to each other, bone to bone. Viraisi, and I saw. Vini alehem gidim, the sinews came. Uvasar alan, flesh. Vayikrom alehem, or milmala, and skin upon them. Veruah, ein bahem, but there was still no spirit among them. Vayomer Eli, and he said to me, Hinave la ruach, prophesy to the spirit. Hinave ben Adam, prophesy, human being. Vayamarta la ruach, say to the wind, Ko amar Hashem Elokim, so says the Lord Hashem. May our baruchot boya ruach, may the four winds come, ufachi barugim ha'ela b'techiu, and blow into these dead people, and they shall live. Hinave si kasher tzivani, and I prophesied as I was commanded. Vatavohem a ruach, and the spirit came into them. Vayichu, and they lived. Vayamdu al raglehem, they stood on their feet. Chayal gadol ma'od ma'od, a large group of people. Ma'od ma'od, very very great. We again have a repetition of the ma'od, very very much. Vayomer Eli, and then God explained the riddle of what this represents. Ben Adam, human being, ha'atzamos ha'ela, these bones kol beis Yisrael hema, they are the Jewish people. They had said in exile, Yavshuat Motenu, our bones have dried up, Avda Tikvatenu, we have no hope, Nigzarnu Lanu, we are doomed. Lachain of Avia Mataliham prophesied to them, Komar Shalokim, so says the Lord Hashem, Hineani Potechi Kibrotechem, I will open your graves, Eletiatchem, Kibrosechem, and bring you out of your graves, Vevesi Eschamalad Mas Yisrael, and I will return you to the land of Israel. Vidatem ki ani Hashem, you will know that I am Hashem. Bevischias kibrosechem, uvaliyischem kibrosechem ami. When I open you from your open your graves and bring you back up from your graves, my nation. Venasati ruchi b'chem b'chiyitem, I will bring my spirit into you and you shall live. Vidatiaschem alad maschem, I will return you to your land. Vidatem, you will know ki ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Dibarti ve'asiti niyum Hashem, I said it and I did it, says Hashem. Here's the question. Did this happen? Were the bones actually resurrected? Did Yechezkel ever actually resurrect bones? Or maybe it didn't happen. Maybe he didn't resurrect any bones, and this is just something that he saw in a prophetic vision. Earlier in Yechezkel, in chapter 24, when Yechezkel's wife died, there was a debate at the time whether Yechezkel's wife died or whether there was just a vision that he saw that his wife died. And throughout the book, when he's had all of his visions of angels, there's room to argue that this isn't something that actually happened. He just saw a vision. When Yechezkel's transported to Israel a number of times in the book, is he actually transported to Israel or he has a vision without it actually happening? So one question is whether the bones were actually resurrected or not. This question is actually taken up by the Talmud in Sanhedrin on Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Beis 92b, and there's a wide variety of views. And basically, they debate this exact question, with some of the views saying that the bones actually were resurrected, that there were actual dry bones that were actually came back to life, which would make this one of the greatest miracles in the entirety of Navi. That Chayal Gadol Ma'od Ma'od, a large group of people were brought back to life. That's one opinion. And another opinion in the Talmud is that this is just a mashal. This is just a parable. It's not that these bones were actually brought back to life. It's a parable for something else that's going to happen. And what we have to remember is that even if you believe there were actual bones that were brought back to life, the focus of this prophecy, the point of this prophecy, is not that the prophet Yechezkel at one point in time happened to have resurrected a bunch of bones. That's not the focus here. The focus is the end of the prophecy, that the resurrection and the revivification of bones on the part of Yechezkel is symbolic of something else that's going to happen in the future of the Jewish people. What's very hard to read in the end of this chapter, and this is something that is true throughout the redemption section of Yechezkel. Yechezkel has a redemption section from chapter 36 through chapter 39. The redemption section of Yechezkel is the most famous because chapter 36 is the Haftarah for Parshat Parah, which we read every year. Chapter 37 is the Haftarah for Chol HaMoed Pesach and the Haftarah for Vayigash. And chapter 38 is the Haftarah for Chol HaMoed Sukkos. So the redemption section of Yechezkel is only chapters 36, 37, 38, 39. It's only four chapters long, but there are four Haftorahs out of the four chapters. So it's the most famous section of Yechezkel. But one of the things that's not clear throughout the redemptive section is whether Yechezkel is predicting a redemption from exile or whether Yechezkel is predicting a messianic era and an end of days. And the way this relates to this prophecy is that we have to figure out whether Yechezkel is predicting the Jewish people returning to Israel at the time of the rebuilding of the second Beit HaMikdash, in which case Yechezkel might have resurrected a small number of deceased individuals, but the prediction is actually not about a future resurrection. It's instead about the Jewish people returning with Ezra and rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash. It's a metaphor for the nation coming back to life when they return. Or you could argue that all these prophecies in Yechezkel are instead predicting a much more far future messianic era, and therefore the prediction of the dry bones coming back to life actually are predicting the revivification of the dead in the coming of the Messiah. And when Yechezkel, in all these sections of Yechezkel, when he predicts the great battle with Gog, which is the Haftarah for Shabbos Chol Moed Sukkos, when he talks about the Jews of the north and the Jews of the south coming back together, which is the Haftarah for Vayigash, and when he talks about God creating a Ruach Hadash, a new spirit, a new feeling among the Jewish people, which is the Haftarah for Parshat Parah, all of these prophecies, you could ask the same question, whether he's predicting a return from exile in his own day, or whether he is predicting instead a messianic era in the end of days. Therefore, the sort of limited reading of this Haftarah is to say, Yechezkel never resurrected any bones. He goes to sleep at night, and in his vision, he has a vision in which he sees bones coming back to life. This would be a difficult reading of the first pasuk, which really sounds like this happened, but you could say that he saw it in a vision. And the bones coming back to life are a metaphor for the Jewish people returning to Israel. In essence, what it captures is that some Jews had gone into exile, and they said, Yavshu atzmotenu, our bones are dry. Namely, they said, Judaism is done, Judaism is finished, because we are in exile. Judaism had flourished in Israel for more than 800 years. But the truth is that Judaism had never existed outside of Israel prior to this time. And so some Jews honestly believed that when they when they had left Israel and entered a foreign land, Judaism was finished. The bones were dry because Judaism would never come back to life. And, Avdat Tikvateinu, there's no more hope for a future of Judaism. Earlier in the book, Yechezkel mentioned how there were Jews who actually said to him, Yechezkel, we believe that Judaism doesn't apply anymore. We just think that the religion is done, having had a situation in which we were sent into exile. The Talmud, noted this idea that some people believe this. The Talmud expresses this idea that people came to Yechezkel. And they sat before him, and they said to him, Yechezkel, you know what? We sort of believe that, God has sent us into exile. And since God has sent us to exile, we don't have to be Jewish anymore. And Yechezkel's whole prophecy is saying to them, That's not true. It's not true that Judaism has ended because you have been sent into exile. It still exists. So anyway, people had dry bones. They said Judaism was done. We're going to forsake the religion. We're never going to come back to Israel. We're never going to rebuild. We're not going to exist anymore. When God shows Yechezkel the bones coming back to life, he's telling them that Judaism will flourish again, that they will be brought back to Israel, and that when they return to Israel, Judaism as a religion will flourish again. The bones of the nation will come back to life, and they will live again. The National Anthem of Israel sort of took this reading. The climax of the national anthem of Od Lo Avda Tikvatenu borrows from these words here, that the Jewish people in exile were saying Avda Tikvatenu, our hope for return was lost, and the national anthem says Od Lo Avda Tikvatenu, sort of rejecting, agreeing with Yechezkel in rejecting the view of many exiled Jews. They're saying Od Lo Avda Tikvatenu, our hope is not lost, because we believe that we will return one day. And that's the focus here of Heveisi Eschem Mas Yisrael, that the Jewish people will be brought back to Israel again. So this is one reading of Yechezkel, the most narrow reading of Yechezkel. He has a dream vision of the dead coming back to life, which is a metaphor that the Jews will return to their land, and it's probably predicting then the rebuilding of the second Beit HaMikdash. And this prophecy of Yechezkel sustained the Jewish people through 70 years of exile in Babel, and then they returned, and then it was fulfilled. But you could also give a maximal reading of this Haftarah. In this maximal reading, Yechezkel actually did see the resurrection, the revivification of some dead people. And what it predicts is in the future messianic era, well, that will happen. God's prediction is to say that again, the Jewish people in exile believe that our hope of coming close to God is lost. And God says, don't worry, because in the Messianic era, God will open the graves of all the deceased of Israel in the history of the Jewish people. God will bring them back to life. God will give a spirit in them and they will come back to life and they will return to Israel. In that case, this is a prediction not of the rebuilding of the second Beit HaMikdash, but it's a prediction of the messianic era in the far future, the one that involves either before or after or during. There's a big debate, but that involves the dead coming back to life. And this is a prophecy that hasn't happened yet. When he says that my spirit, v'nasati ruchi b'chem, you could read this with a much sort of deeper reading, that just as Yechezkel predicted earlier that everyone was going to get a new heart, as the Ramban in the end of Devarim explained it, that the nature of our relationship with good and bad is going to change. We're going to have a godly spirit in us, which will motivate us and encourage us to do good. And so that spirit reflects a sort of change in nature in the time that the resurrection of the dead will happen. Now, that aforementioned Gemara in Sanhedrin says that if you wanted to prove that the 13th principle of the Rambam is correct, that the dead will come back to life, you could argue that this chapter in Yechezkel is sort of the basis of that. The basis that the dead will come back to life is the fact that they came back to life in the time of Yechezkel, or that Yechezkel, it happened once on a small scale, and he says just what happened now on a small scale will happen in the future in a large scale as well. I think that the question about whether this prophecy is about redemption or resurrection is actually a debate between Rav and Shmuel in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. What's interesting is that Rav and Shmuel both agree that that these bones did come back to life, but they disagree what the identity of these individuals who came back to life were. There's actually four opinions in the Gemara who those who came back to life were. Rabbi Yochanan says these were Jews who were killed al Kiddush Hashem. They were Jews who of high character who God brought them back to life sort of as a reward. And Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha said these were heretics who denied God's existence. He's focusing on the end V'idatem ki ani Hashem, you'll know that I am Hashem, as a way to sort of focus who are the ones who need to know that Hashem is Hashem. These are the ones who were great sinners. But what do Rav and Shmuel say? Rav says that the people who were brought back to life were children of Ephraim who left Egypt prior to the salvation from Egypt. Shmuel says, on the other hand, these are individuals who denied the resurrection of the dead. How do we understand this debate between Rav and Shmuel? It would seem to me that Rav understands Yechezkel's prophecy as being about redemption. It's about the rebuilding of the second Beit HaMikdash. If so, it would be fitting that these bones would be Jews in past Jewish history who denied the concept of redemption. And Rav says that we know from Divrei HaYamim there was a small group of Jews who, when the Jewish people were in exile in Egypt, denied or thought that we would never be redeemed from Egypt. Those were the Jews who denied redemption, who felt that we would never be taken out by God, and therefore they left Egypt early and were killed when they left Egypt. Rav says Yechezkel is predicting redemption of Jews from exile, so the bones who are resurrected have to be Jews in the past who denied redemption from exile. They're going to come back to life. In contrast, Shmuel says that these are Jews who denied the resurrection of the dead, denied the 13th principle of Maimonides, denied that part of the end of days in the Messianic era is that the dead will come back to life. So Shmuel therefore says the focus of Yechezkel's prophecy is that the dead will one day come back to life, and therefore the people who we are talking about here, the people who were brought back to life, had to have been people who denied that, and the prophecy is showing that it's not true, and that actually they will be brought back to life. So to summarize this topic, this prophecy is rich on a literary basis. It's clearly climactic and key for what Yechezkel is trying to say. It's key for his prophetic mission. But Rav and Shmuel have a debate, which is a debate that could really be applied to virtually every chapter in the redemption section of Yechezkel and in the temple section at the end of Yechezkel about what it's even talking about. Rav says it's talking about the second Beit HaMikdash. Jews felt that they were never going to be brought back from exile. So God resurrects some Jews to show that it is possible. God can bring us back to exile from exile. It happened at the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, and the Israeli national anthem says it's happening now as well. When we return to Israel, it's a prediction not of the far future, it's of the past and of the present. And Shmuel takes the alternative view. It's predicting a future time when the dead will come back to life. And it's basically saying that God, who can defy the laws of nature, one day will defy the laws of nature again, and every Jew who passed away in exile, who lacked the opportunity to ever see the Beit HaMikdash, to ever have that great closeness to God, will one day be brought back to life to be able to experience that closeness, to be able to experience that connection with godliness in that messianic era, in that end of days, which we hope will come speedily in our time, b'mhera v'yameinu.